What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Moving to Florida show. I'm your host, Judson, along with co-host Mohit Badlani.
What is up, everyone? See, you messed up on my name because you were looking at your name. It was Brohit on your side.
Oh, guys, we just had a little chuckle before we hit record because Mo saw what I put my name in as Brohit today.
Yeah, there you go.
So, yeah, and then I totally, you know, tongue got stuck on my tooth trying to talk. Oh, might have had a little too much caffeine today.
I'm definitely having some right now.
There you go. Well, Mo, how are you today?
Good, man. Been busy out all day in this 100 degree weather. It's brutal out there, man.
Exactly what I was going to say, guys. It is hot out there. I just looked. So it is 5:30 in the evening as we record, and it is 97 degrees out there.
Man, it has been brutal. Talk about the second day of summer being this hot.
Right. You know, it does seem like it took a little later to actually really get hot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like normally you get some days even in May where you're like, oh man, it is hot. And I mean, it was warm, but it wasn't like,
it was scorching,
pleasant, you know? Yeah. Yeah. In May, it was pretty pleasant. Now June. It's getting warm.
It hasn't been too terrible.
Yeah. So, Mo, I've been getting a lot of questions lately, or a common question that I've been getting lately. I did a little Instagram reel on it, which I shared on our Instagram page. People have been saying to me lately, you know, especially people looking at moving to Florida from out of state, like, hey, looks like I'm seeing a lot more price reductions. Are you guys having more price reductions going on? And they're right. We are having more price reductions, but that doesn't mean the prices are going down, if that makes sense. So I figure we could talk about that a little bit.
So yeah, like you mentioned, price reductions are happening. Does that mean that they're reducing them and getting below market value? No way. It's not getting even near market value right now. They're reducing them from the high point that your neighbor sold for $40,000 or $60,000 above asking price. So buyers have become smarter. Market has become a little bit more tighter with this interest rates going up, inflation going up. You know, prices have gone up, but these home prices are starting to, I believe, level off. Like we talked about, there's a cool off period. Yes. And I think we're getting to that cool off period where prices are coming back to normal market value. They're still slightly above market value. I think the latest stat was like 3% or 4% above market value, but that's still very small compared to the 60, 70, 80, 100,000 we were seeing above asking price.
Right. So I think like what you're talking about is, you know, a few months ago, you put a home on the market and there's 30 offers in 2 days. And, you know, a lot of them are waiving the appraisal contingency. And then some of those have a loan still. Maybe they offered an appraisal gap. Some of those have a loan still. So they still have to get an appraisal. And yeah, I mean, we were seeing a lot of those where the appraisal's coming in, you know, $20,000, $30,000 under the price. But I mean, the buyer had waived their appraisal contingency. And they knew that was a possibility that they're going to be bringing that difference in cash. So, I mean, yeah, that was definitely happening. Is that what you're referencing there?
Yeah, that. And they, you know, people look at what other people are selling for, especially in your neighbors. So if my neighbor said, hey, he listed his house for $450 and he got like $490, I'm going to put it up for sale for $490 as well and see if I can get that. Well, you know, you're not in that market right now where you can go $60,000 above and ask for it. You
got what it was really worth.
Well,
I think it's more we saw, you know, over the last 6 months, I'd say, you know, say if you just looked at one community, it's almost like you saw values leapfrogging, right? So, you know, one home sold at, you know, let's say $400,000, and then the next homeowner said they put theirs up at $440, or maybe they put it up at $420, and they got $440.
Right.
And so then the next seller added another $40 on top of that, thinking they're going to get it.
Yeah.
That's the one, you know, that $480.
Right.
It's not worth that. You don't have any comps that are worth that.
Nope.
And you're not getting 30 offers in 2 days now. You're getting one or two if it's priced right. But if you put it, you know, $40,000 over what the last home in the neighborhood sold for, you know, that was comparable.
Right.
Buyers just aren't willing to pay that anymore. Interest rates have definitely affected the market,
right?
Which is, I mean, the Fed does not directly control mortgage rates, which is a whole different topic.
Yeah.
But, it's a whole different topic. You know, interest rates going up, it's definitely slowed down the housing market. And, you know, it's just made it where it took a lot of buyers out. They couldn't afford with the high prices and high interest rates. So it's just a lot less competitive for buyers. So, I mean, really, right. for you guys listening that want to move to Florida, especially if you want to buy a home, this is good news for you that it's going to get easier. You know, you're not in a bidding war having to waive appraisal or waive inspections and stuff like that. So, yeah, but I think that one that they put the house out there, $40,000, $50,000 over anything that sold,
right?
That's the one that's getting the price reduction. Yeah. And they're having to reduce back to a more reasonable rate. You know, right. And then we're seeing they're getting offers at that point.
Yeah. Another thing I've been noticing, even builders, which are like, you know, your big name D.R. Hortons and everybody, they're coming back into line as well. They're getting more inventory right now, too, because they're starting to see, hey, these interest rates are not helping our market either. And now they're calling us again and sending us lists of inventory. I'm like, hey, you got any buyers? So that's coming back into line as well.
No lie, we had a builder drop off some like cake balls at the office earlier today.
Really?
Broker was like, oh, you guys like us again?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, maybe we do need the real estate agents.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we are, you know, starting to see them offering incentives again for buyers too.
Right.
You know, still you have to use their preferred lender, but they're willing to give a credit for closing costs more so than they were, you know, 6 months ago, 12 months ago. And just like Mo said, more inventory is coming back. I was in a model yesterday. I stopped by David Weekly Community in Claremont, and they actually had lots that you could pick your floor plan on.
What?
I don't remember the last time I saw that. It's been at least a year, maybe 2 years
since I've seen
a builder. You know, I mean, that used to be the norm, guys. That used to be normal. I mean, you had that and you had inventory, but probably 2 years since a builder said you can pick the lot and you can pick what floor plan goes on it. And now, I mean, they're still going to have limits. If it's a 50-foot lot, they probably have some floor plans that can't fit, but you're getting a choice of the floor plans that can fit on that lot. You're actually getting to go to the design center and pick your upgrades and pick everything what you want. A true, like, you know,
full experience.
What new construction used to be, you know.
Right. Yeah. The full experience. Now, don't get me wrong. There is a builder or two out there that are helping with the rates too. They bought the rates, or they invested into those rates many, many, many months ago because they knew it's not sustainable. It's not going to be at 2.75 forever. So they bought some rates at that time and invested into those rates, and now they're giving them to the buyers. Like, for example, they're giving you your first year at a 2.99, your second year at a 3.25, your fourth year at a 4.25 or 4.99, and it's going to stay that way for 30 years at 4.99. Now that is still a fantastic deal.
Four nine. You can't really get 4.9 anywhere today. I think I have seen a little bit about that, Mo. So I'm going to have to check that out for my buyers too, because you'll have to let me know what communities you've seen that or what builder. But you know, I've also seen a lot of builders offering a long term rate lock. So I mean, you're getting today's rate instead of what it's going to be in, you know, 10, 11, 12 months when the home's completed, because they're going to be higher then. I think the builder is paying, basically the buyer gets pre-approved and the builder is paying for that extended rate lock, I mean, a great incentive. You know, today what your rate's going to be locked in at, and these, you know, as rates continue to go up, it's not going to affect you.
Right. But I don't want to just go back. Just going back to the original topic is, I don't want to discourage our sellers either. If you price your home right, you're still getting multiple offer situations. There's still people moving left and right. I was I was at an open house where it already had 20 offers on it because they had priced it correctly to market value. They had 20 offers. And this was last week. And man alive, I mean, I thought I would never see that again, where you see 20 plus offers on a house. But there are buyers out there that are still buying, whether it's cash or a loan. Yeah, they're still buying. If
they're just not willing to overpay,
right? If it's priced to the market value,
100%, I agree.
Yeah, they're not willing to overpay. Yeah, they're not, and none of the offers were above like $40,000-$50,000. They were above maybe $5,000 or $7,000, the most expensive one, I believe.
So we are seeing more inventory coming from these builders. And I mean, it could just be me, but it seems like they're releasing more inventory. Maybe it's just because it's not selling quite as quickly, right? And I mean, I think we're seeing that on the resale on the resale market too. We are seeing inventory start to tick up a little bit. We don't really have any good statistics on that yet, because that's something that it takes, you know, time to calculate, as far as looking towards the future. But I know for, what is it, the last 6 months, we've been stuck kind of at 1 month of inventory. And you know, it's been a little while since we've kind of discussed what that means. But I mean, basically inventory is, if no new homes came on the market, how long would it take to sell out at the rate that we're currently selling? And it's been a month. And, you know, they say a healthy market is like 6 months. I think we're going to see that start to stretch out a little bit. It'll be interesting to see, you know, when we see those stats, what it is kind of for, you know, today. I think it is extending some. I doubt we've made it back to 2 months of inventory, even though. So, I mean, we are still, it's still a seller's market, you know, here in Florida. It's just not the crazy, strong, insane seller's market that it has been for the last 6 to 8 months.
Yeah, I agree with you there. We're starting to see a little bit more inventory come back in the market. Like you mentioned, it's not at 2 months even. It's a month and a half, maybe a little bit over a month and a half. But yeah, we're not at anywhere near 6 months worth of inventory at all. Yep. But that doesn't mean by come the end of the year, with interest rates going up possibly again, because that's what the Fed said, that we may have that additional inventory. And then it will become I would say it would still be a seller's market, but it usually evens out that way. I mean, it's a little bit of both. And we need that, to be honest with you. We need some of us need to push the brakes.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it was definitely, the market was just crazy, crazy. We needed it to slow down some, you know, it was getting just tougher and tougher for buyers.
Ridiculous.
And look, rents are not going down either. Rents are high. And I think they're going to continue to go higher.
Yeah.
Okay. So on the inventory side, I was able to pull up May's numbers in single family homes. We're at 1.4 months of supply as of May.
So a little less than a month and a half.
Yep. Yeah. So in May of 2021, by the way, it was 1.1 months. Yeah. And so now we're at 1.4. So a little more inventory than we had then. And some of that, I'm just kind of looking at the other numbers. Some of that is more new listings coming on the market, and less of them are pending. So yeah, active inventory. To give you an idea, and this is Florida statewide, we had about 30,000 homes on market in May of 2021, and we got about 40,000 homes active inventory on market as of May 2022. Now, let me change over here. I'll look at the townhouse and condo. I know we normally kind of segment them that way. On the townhouse and condo, we've got 1.5 months of inventory.
Okay.
But get this, back in May of 2021, that was 1.9 months. So inventory is down on that one. But you know, that was, if you think back to when, we were, you know, May of last year, we had, you know, we were trucking along, things were moving along.
Right.
But you know, a condo and townhouses had gone way down during the beginning, you know, the first year of the whole COVID pandemic. That went down because people wanted more space, wanted to get away, and there were a lot less condo sales. And then they kind of came roaring back.
Yep.
But yeah, so we had that inventory was still shrinking at that time. So it's down to 1.5 months.
Yeah.
On that
You're absolutely right. People wanted more space, so they decided to leave their condos or leave their townhouses, go into single family homes or buy bigger land or whatever that might be. And then when prices started going up dramatically, those became a commodity and people started going after them again. So,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a roller coaster ride with those two. Because it all depends. And going back to our single family home inventory, it could also be seasonal as well. It is summertime. People have summer break right now. So if they're moving from state to state or they're selling their home, usually summertime is usually when people put their homes on the market because it is a lot easier to maneuver when kids are out of school.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So definitely summer is the moving months. Here in Florida. Well, I mean, everywhere really, right?
Yeah.
We don't slow down as much through the winter as some other states because it doesn't snow in Florida. I don't know if you guys know that. But yeah, I mean, definitely summer is still the hot season. I mean, really our normal, I'd say late February, things start ticking along for our spring market. We really start seeing some increases in activity, and it's hot and heavy through the summer. No pun intended there. And then, you know, we see a slight slowdown after school starts back up. And, you know, and then of course the holidays are a little bit slower as well, but people are still buying and selling at that time as well.
Right. And I still continue to feel like it's going to be this way for a little while with the influx of people still coming in. They're still coming in families on maybe not a weekly basis anymore. Maybe every couple of weeks we're getting 1,000 families in Florida, but we're still getting that influx of people. People are still moving out of whatever they're living in, California, New York, wherever, and they're still coming to Florida.
All right, so Mo, here's the big question. Are housing prices in Florida coming down anytime soon?
No.
Yeah, I have to agree. I don't think we're going to see, you know, we're seeing these price decreases like we talked about at the top of the show, but those are on homes that were overpriced, you know, to begin with.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to see a decrease in values. Even if some areas, you know, across the country, even if we do start to see some declines in value, I think that could be possible just depending on, you know, other things that are going on in that area. But I think we've got so many people that want to move to Florida that are still moving here that we're going to see home values, you know, plateau a little bit, certainly. And I would say continue to increase, though at a much slower rate than they have for the last couple of years. They're not on a rocket ship anymore. We're on a little more, you know, level playing field, but I don't think we're going to see these values go down.
No, I don't see these values going down at all. I see it going up, not like the 36% that we've had year over year over the last 2 years, but I do see it going up maybe 3% to 5% up. That's my prediction. I mean, we could be wrong and tomorrow something else might happen, but for the most part, just going by trends, especially in the last 2 or 3 months, the trend is it is going up, but it's not going up as much as you think it is.
Yeah, that, you know, that's a great disclaimer there too, Mo. Depending on what else happens in this wild world we live in, you know,
I feel like we're in the Wild West these days.
Yeah, yeah. So if nothing changes, that's, you know, super crazy, interest rates still continue to tick up, then, you know, slowly, then I think it's going to be fine. And interest rates, by the way, guys, did go down a little bit over the last few weeks. Mo, did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it tick down just a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. So not again, not the Fed rate. The Fed does not control mortgage rates. But the mortgage rate, did go down just a little bit. So we're, you know, from what I'm hearing from the lenders, we're high fives today, maybe low sixes. You know, it does depend so much on your credit and what your debt to income ratio is and so many other things.
Right.
But kind of the par rate from what I'm hearing is high fives, low sixes today.
Yeah. And like I said, like we mentioned before in our show, I mean, interest rates are so volatile that one day could be at a very high point and then the next day it might come down a little bit. And then once the economy gets back into shape again, things are, you know, interest rates will start going back to the maybe the fours and the fives. I doubt we're ever going to see a 2.75, 2.55, 2.45. I doubt we're ever going to see that. But again, we never know what tomorrow's going to bring. But
that's true. Yeah. As we said a moment ago, hey, Mo, you know, something else we could hit on here. I'm also seeing, I've seen some headlines lately that adjustable rate mortgages are making a comeback.
Yeah.
So maybe we can kind of cover that a little bit, and explain to you guys, if you're not familiar with what that is, kind of similar to what Mo mentioned earlier with the builders, that it starts out at one rate and then it changes, though that was more of a locked in thing. You know in advance it's going to be 4.99 eventually.
Right.
What an adjustable rate mortgage is you get a lower rate initially, and then after a certain period of time, typically it's either 5 years, 7 years, or 10 years, and it just depends on your loan. Usually there's an option for each. But after that time, it goes to whatever the current rate is there. And they have a, I don't remember what it is. They have a rate that they target, you know, whatever this rate is, and then they add a percentage on.
Right. So
it's something you definitely want to be comfortable with. The reality is, though, most people only live in a home for about 7 years.
True.
So you know, if you're moving to Florida and that adjustable rate mortgage, that, you know, if you can lock in the first 10 years at a lower rate and that's going to lower your payment and you don't plan to stay in that home for 10 years, it might make sense to you. But if, you know, if you want it to be your long-term home, you do have to be careful, because 10 years from now, when that rate adjusts, you have no idea what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And you don't know what your payment's going to be. And I mean, that's a big part of what led to the real estate crash back in 2008, was there were a ton of adjustable rate mortgages going on. Not only that, they were also a lot of unqualified buyers. That was the real problem.
Yeah.
But the adjustable rate mortgages didn't help either, because when that initial period was up and they adjusted, rates were a lot higher and people, you know, their payment went up by $1,000 a month and they just couldn't afford it.
Correct.
So that's where you want to be careful with the adjustable rate mortgage. But again, you got to look at your situation, and if it works for you, and the I don't know what the initial rate is called, a teaser rate, I know is one kind of term for it, but if your initial rate, if the payments work, you know, if it's going to save you a couple $100 a month,
right,
for the first 10 years, that is a lot of money, and it adds up. So certainly if you're not planning to keep the home beyond that, then that might make sense for you.
Yeah, yep. You're absolutely right. A lot of people have been talking about ARM, which is what we call adjustable rate mortgage. Now, it could be cost effective to you. It could not be. You're probably better off taking a 30-year as well, because these costs to get an ARM might be higher. Now, what do I mean by that? You do pay for your interest rate through points. So your points, purchasing those points at a 4.11, you could be at, you know, dishing out 15, 20 grand. Is it worth it? Look at your long-term payments and see if it's worth even doing that. So financially, keep an eye on those things. Now, there are some ARMs out there where you pay very low on those points, and that might be worth it for you, but it could be it depends on the lender you go to as well.
Yep.
So
certainly.
So it all depends. Like you said, a lot of people are looking into ARM because you can do a 5-year, a 7-year, 10-year ARM, but you also got to be smart enough that keep an eye on it. Not only just smart, but keep an eye on it. If rates do go down and you like that rate, right, you can always refinance, right? Absolutely. Even if you're in the middle of the 5 years or in the middle of the 7 years or the 10 years, if you like that rate and you want to lock it in for 30 years, it's like, you know what? I think I love this home. I'm not moving. There's no reason for me to, you know, refinance, or there's a reason for me to refinance, and this is the time for me to do it. Do it.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're absolutely right about that. And that's the thing, you know, if home values continue to rise, you got to buy at whatever the home value is. But if the interest rate changes, if it goes up, great. You locked in a lower rate. If it goes down, you can always refinance.
All right, man.
Hey, so real quick, Mo, before we wrap up, let's hit on a couple more kind of topics there involved, because I think we both use some jargon,
yeah.
Some words that, you know, some people might not know.
Right.
So, and they kind of tie together, because I mentioned the par rate earlier.
Right.
So the par rate is just that. It's the rate that you qualify for,
right,
without paying any points.
Right.
And then what Mo mentioned, points, is basically 1 point is 1% of your loan value. So if your loan is $400,000, a point is $4,000.
Right.
And typically that will reduce your percentage rate, your interest rate, by a small percentage. I think it's
a discount.
I'm not a mortgage lender, guys. Yeah, it's a discount point. Right. I think it's 0.25%, and it may vary by lender, but I think if you pay, you know, 1 point, your loan comes down by 0.25%. So if you were at 6% par rate and you pay 1 point, then you're at 5.75.
Right.
And you have to, you know, run that through a calculator and see what does that do to the payment. And so you might pay 2 or 3 points to get it, right, down, you know, closer to a 5. And again, the way I looked at it, I mean, I looked at buying our loan down whenever, you know, we bought our new home recently, and I looked at where my break even was, right? So I'm like, okay, I can pay, you know, 2 points, $12,000 or whatever it was. Where's my break even? My payment's $200 a month cheaper. If I do that, where do I break even at? And I was like, right, 20 years out before I break even. And I got to pay, you know, I got to pay $12,000 cash today to do that. And I'm like, no, I'm not, I'm not worried about that because
it has to make financial sense.
You know, at the time I didn't know where rates were going to go in the future. Right. And you know, who knows what will happen again in the future, but I you know, that's 20 years from now, Judson's problem, right? Well, or that I didn't break even. I mean, the point is, you know, it just didn't make sense to lower the payment by, you know, in that example, $12,000 today to lower the payment by $200 a month didn't make sense. But that's why you have to look at it in your situation, and your lender will tell you, you know, if you put this much in points, then this is what your payment will be. So you can kind of do the math and figure out what works for you.
Right. And take advice of, if you have a good lender and they will advise you correctly and they will give you your options, whatever options you have, just make sure you listen to him or her and keep those options available for you. Cause at the end of the day, the lender, he's trying to make a sale over here, but at the same time, he doesn't want you to go broke at the end of the day. Cause he wants you to come back and buy another house from him.
Well, yeah, those lenders know that most people sell and buy a new house every 7 years. So they want to earn that business again in the future. Absolutely. Right. And hey guys, by the way, if you're not working with a good lender or you need a referral for a lender, definitely reach out to us because just like a real estate licensee, we're licensed. We can really work anywhere in Florida, though our MLSs are local. Most lenders can work, again, anywhere in Florida. They're licensed for the state of Florida. So the lenders that we work with here in the Orlando area can also do your loan in Miami or Pensacola or anywhere else in Florida. So if you need a good connection there, definitely reach out to us.
Anything else you want to add, Judd?
Man, that's it. Why don't you tell them where they can reach us?
All right. We want to hear from you guys now. You can reach us on our Moving to Florida show hotline by dropping a voicemail or texting us at 407-900-5859 or drop us a DM on Facebook or Instagram at Moving to Florida show. And for Twitter, our handle is at Moving to FL show. If you'd like to connect with us, if you have any questions or if you need a realtor here in Florida, you can reach us at movingtofloridashow@gmail.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show if you like our content so that it would automatically download to your device and get you one step closer to moving to Florida.